Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host, and today we're going to talk about water research, a very fascinating and fun topic. I am here with John Albert. He's the Chief Research Officer for the Water Research Foundation. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. This is a pretty good time for us to be talking about water research, given the news of the recent merger of, of the two different organizations. But first, could you just introduce yourself and just talk about what your role is at the Water Research Foundation?
Sure. So yeah, I'm John Albert, the Chief Research Officer at the Water Research Foundation. And I have the honor and privilege of facilitating some really great people at the Integrated Foundation, both in the Denver office and the Alexandria office. Research managers with huge depths of knowledge in various areas, and so it's an exciting time for all of us.
How many researchers are there between the
So it's a great team of about 20.
20 okay.
Total.
That's a lot of mind power there, brain power.
It is, and just fantastic people.
So, like I said, the news of the day was the recent merger of the two organizations into one powerhouse research foundation. Could you talk about what that has been like, as from the process of that and merging the research of the two?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the integration of the foundation going into this one water space, holistically, is an exciting time. Our mutual stakeholders have been calling for it, and this integration is a manifest of that calling.
Mm.
And so now we have that integrated foundation, and bringing the stormwater, the wastewater, the reuse, the drinking water together for really a holistic view and approach to water is being called for a long time, and we're finally doing it.
You've had to evaluate. You had researchers on the staffs of both organizations, and you kind of had to assess how they all would handle or fit together or cover different areas of research.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so we're going to be reorganizing our structure that's agnostic to the waters that we treat. So looking at it from, source water or effluent discharge, looking at treatment, looking at business operations, looking across the world, a board on infrastructure. So each one of those components is agnostic to the waters that are touched. So the staff's really excited about that change.
What's it been like, aside from the research portfolio, just the process of bringing two different organizations together? I've never been in that situation. A lot of people probably don't get to go through that.
No, I got to say we're really lucky that we have some very strong and mirrored processes that were born from each other. For years, we've been collaborating, which has really helped grease the wheels for this integration. So our research processes have some very common threads. Our procurement does, the execution and publications has some common threads. So I think we're very lucky in that regard.
And as we were talking before we started recording, it's going to be a process for you all, though. It's going to take time to blend.
To blend and incorporate and integrate, in the rule of thumb, it takes about 3 years, but we're often hitting the ground. We're only 2 months into it.
Right.
And we're already looking at, integrating our research planning processes. We're looking at integrating our rate strategies. We're looking at, combining our database systems, but really at the crux of it's the people. And the people and the staff make it happen, and they're doing a phenomenal job, and we're hitting the ground running really fast and really hard, and everybody's pitching in. It's just been really, really great.
That's exciting. Yeah. It's exciting. I know that, as you alluded to, the water sector was excited to see this happen and is really looks forward to everything that comes out of this new foundation and is watching with great interest how it goes. So now that you are One Foundation. Could you talk a little bit about your portfolio of water research? What kind of areas you look at?
Yeah, well, you know,
or,
I think,
or how you're working to set that up.
Well, I can start where we were classically, and then hit some, you know, hot topics.
Yeah.
So classically, I think both foundations have hit water quality quite well, you know, either in the drinking water side, wastewater, or reuse side. So we're classic. We've got a huge depth in water quality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think kind of the hot topics that are emerging and really part of this integrated process is looking more holistically. So, you know, smart water, smart systems, mm-hmm. big data. What's the storyline from all of this information that we're getting in or could have come in?
Mm-hmm.
And supporting utility decision making is really a hot topic. Looking at workforce, the workforce of the future, we know that the operators of the past are going to have a skill set to use these smart technologies. And we'll probably operate in ways that we haven't even thought of. So we'll have to change our mindset on workforce.
Let's dig into these a little bit here.
Yeah.
So workforce, what types of research, like would you envision maybe, or, you know, think might have to happen, looking at what types of skills workers need to come into water?
Exactly. Yeah, so we've done some research in the past that we're bringing back up and looking at a second time. So, you know, competencies for various positions within a utility. You know, how do we have to redefine them? Bringing the HR offices into that research planning process and say, hey, you're needing this type of research. We have to go out and look for this because, you know, the huge wave of retirements, the,
right.
What do they call it? The silver tsunami.
Silver, I've not heard that phrase.
I've heard it many times today.
Ah.
Yeah, silver tsunami, where, you know, you have utilities, like large utilities like New York within the next 3 to 5 years, where 50% of their staff is eligible for retirement. And that's just one example.
Right.
And many systems are very similar. So, what do we do to, you know, replace that knowledge gap, not doing some knowledge transfer,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we keep that knowledge within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, is it an opportunity to rethink how we want to run our systems? You know,
yeah.
If we implement a new piece of technology, do we need 8 operators on call all at the same time with the same skill set? You know, if we have remote technologies, could we have a technician in a remote office being able to run certain things? There might be efficiencies, but at the same time, technology doesn't replace humans
mm-hmm.
100%.
Right.
We're going to have to translate that data.
Yeah.
So what skills do we need to have staff acquire to translate that new data set?
That's a very interesting point. So let's say if you have 100 positions and you have all these retirements, you're not necessarily going to be just backfilling and replacing with that same position. It's
correct.
It's really reorganizing and
right.
re-identifying the types of jobs you have.
And also reacting to the market.
Hmm.
You know, people have different visions of what they want their workplace to look like. You know, there's a huge difference between, you know, millennials and
baby boomers. Yeah.
Different expectations, and we have to pull those expectations into where our workforce of the future is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to inform the process,
the hours they work, where they work, how they work,
right.
what benefits they have,
right.
what the actual space looks like, all of that.
Yeah.
And that's, so those are areas for research, huh? You've
yeah.
got to kind of look at that, and then when you get research, you actually, that's shared then with the water sector, and then that helps inform decision making across the water sector, utilities and companies, and
utilities, regulators, other stakeholders, all playing a part in that process.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned talked about smart technology and data mm-hmm. and all that. Can we dive into that a little bit more?
Absolutely.
It's obviously a huge topic. Every conference you come to, like this, we're at the Utility Management Conference right now. I mean, there's just an increasing number of sessions on information technology, smart technology, remote mm-hmm. sensing, remote monitoring, and all that. So
yeah.
Where do you see that all going?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's area has grown exponentially. So it's crazy to see how it's blossomed in the last 3 years alone.
Right.
So where do we see it going? That's a great question.
Yeah,
I can tell you where both foundations, you know, while we're integrating, have research areas on smart distribution systems. How do we put sensors in our distribution systems that can tell us a story of when and where and how should we replace these systems? Mm. Or if there's an issue within the systems, could there be early warning systems within them to tell us, hey, we've got something coming down the line. Could we be more proactive? Mm-hmm. That's hitting the ground now.
Yeah.
Where we're going into the future, you know, with drones and satellite data to be able to tell us, for instance, looking at satellite data to tell us, hey, you have an early warning on a hazardous algal bloom. Those are the type of things that technologies we're looking for and looking at. And then how do we incorporate that data stream into our decision making? You know, you have so many opportunities and vendors and new technologies coming at you. How do you make decisions on what's appropriate for your utility or not? So that's a big area of concentration.
It's dizzying to me.
It is. It is. I have a hard enough time keeping my operating system on my computer up to speed. So yeah.
Right, right. And yeah, then you start thinking about things like, well, there's augmented reality and virtual reality and robots and artificial intelligence. And I mean, those sound futuristic, but they're really not at this point, right?
There's a dovetail there with, the aging workforce using these artificial intelligences and virtual realities to record what somebody does on a day-to-day. So it's in some data stream. So when that person leaves, their whole knowledge base isn't gone with them.
Wow.
And that's happening today.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. All right. A couple other things you mentioned. You talked about, we talked about affordability before we started recording also. What's that?
Yeah. I mean, affordability is going to come to the forefront more and more. Mm-hmm. We're hearing it at this conference. We're going to hear it over and over. Utility bills are rising at a faster rate. And there's, because of capital needs for the utility, it comes a time and a place where you're going to have to pay the piper.
It's just
a reality, and it's rising much faster than other common goods that people use on a day-to-day basis. So I think we're going to have to sell the reasons why they're rising, and the resource that is being provided more and more so. We hear over and over that the water sector as a whole, be it oil, water, wastewater, stormwater, we're a silent service and always have been. But now we got to tout and talk about our service. How integral is it to the cities? You would not have productive cities without these services. And we got to start talking about them, because affordability is an issue that's going to come up more and more in the future.
Right, because you have that reality of needing to raise rates, and you have the reality of the different incomes that are in communities, and who can afford that and who has a harder time affording it.
Correct.
So I'm really interested in what Philadelphia is trying with kind of income-based rate structure, if I describe that right. I imagine that's something you all will keep your eyes on as well.
Yeah, we have been. That's quite an innovation in affordability, honestly. And I think we're going to have to see more of that innovation and out-of-the-box thinking when it comes to paying for this resource that we provide.
Yeah.
If it's income-based, or if it's, especially on the stormwater side, how do you pay for stormwater? Is it impervious water service? Is it acres covered? Is it percent of water used? There's a myriad of options out there, and I think we're gonna have to do some check with our peers and how is it doing.
Sure.
And that's where research comes in.
Well, I know that I get my water bill and I see that I get 1,000 gallons of water for like $3.84, and I'm like, that's a great deal.
Right.
But that's, I think, because I'm especially informed about
the
value of water and the infrastructure and everything.
Yeah.
You talked also a bit about social science.
Yeah.
And traditionally, there's been a lot of the traditional science involved in water quality,
chemistry.
Engineering, chemistry, biology, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And now with some of these emerging issues, needing to bring in the social sciences. Yeah. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, and we touched upon it with affordability.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're finding more and more that social science takes an equal standing with the engineering, with the chemical, with the biological sciences that we've been incorporating for many, many years, and is equally important. Talking to folks about the need for reuse, and on the social science side, talking to folks about the need for this service on the affordability side, talking to folks about bringing decision-making, willingness to pay for this service, you know, on infrastructure repair, bringing the community into those discussions. Some really great research going on in that area. Wow. And I'll highlight one if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Albuquerque has done a really great job of bringing communities in to help inform the capital improvement programs, what expectations are. You know, traditionally, why would you? You know, I have my capital plan, I have my engineers work on it, and I deploy it.
We know this is what we need to do.
Right. Right. But bringing the community in there gives them a more understanding, gives them a say in what priorities they want and they expect in their community. And provides a platform for the utility to sell their brand. So it's a really, really great process, and keep your eye on that. It's been a great experiment.
Interesting. And you just said the word experiment, which, are there ways to measure that then? You know, so Albuquerque is doing this nice community outreach and involving people. Are there, is there any way to measure that it's successful other than anecdotal? I'm just wondering.
No, that's a great question. We were just having a conversation yesterday about, you know, utility benchmarking.
Yeah.
What attributes in within your benchmarking program do you have to measure customer satisfaction?
Yeah.
And that's an area of research. What attributes do you put in your benchmarking? And actually, we have a session later this week or tomorrow on that.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if, I'm just totally brainstorming on a recording here, but, you know, and public polling, right? Like before, during, after.
Correct.
Some kind of effort like that to give you some sense of where perception is.
Correct. Polling, but in different ways, because you have the different generations that react in different ways to polling mechanisms. So you can have paper-based, which, you know,
right.
I'm simplifying baby boomers. So you might have tweet polls for, you know, the millennials or, you know, we have Gen Z coming up behind the millennials. So we got to, you know.
Gen Z. Okay. Yeah. I have to do an episode just on Gen Z here and start getting ahead of that.
Yeah. My 3 and 6 year olds are part of it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have 7 and 9 year olds. So, so they're gonna, Gen Zers. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows what they're going to bring to the table?
Oh, that'll be interesting for sure.
It will be.
Last thing that, discussing was kind of emerging contaminants, or you said like the contaminant du jour, what
Correct.
The hot issue is. And we talked about the perfluorinated compounds or perfluorinated chemicals, PFOA, PFOS, the PFCs. What's going on there?
Right. Well, that's one that hits across the board, you know, on the biosolids and wastewater side, as well as on the drinking water side. You know, luckily we have a focus area already dedicated to it that was just launched this year. So you'll see some projects and research coming up, looking at the treatment aspects, looking at, you know, incorporating in our research portfolio, how do we determine the transport mechanisms? That said, it's a much bigger animal for everybody to wrap their arms around, because we know it's out there, but what are the, and we can detect it, but what are the health risks? We don't know that.
Yeah.
What are the treatment options? Well, we're getting our better handle on that, but it's going to come at a cost. So what are the trade-offs of those?
Yeah.
It's a big, wide area, you know, working with EPA, working with Department of Defense. We just won an award from Department of Defense looking at treatment technologies.
Because it's an issue around military facilities.
Correct. But there's also components of industrial components, you know, from where it hits the wastewater group pretty hard.
Yeah.
So we're at the cusp of wrapping our arms around it.
One of the big challenges with science and research is that because it's always improving, you're always learning new things and discovering new challenges or new, quote, threats something you couldn't detect before. And now science allows you to detect. And then you have to do the science to figure out how that chemical or whatever impacts things.
You nailed it. And that's where it gets to the social side. Science side is we are now living in a world that there is no more zero. If you look for it, you will find it. Our technologies for detecting anything at any level are there, you know, but it's ahead of where our public health risks assessments are. So you will always detect whatever you want in whatever medium you want, but we don't know the human health risk. So how do we do a great job of communicating that to our public? That's the social science side.
When you're finding these substances in parts per trillion.
Parts per billion, parts per trillion. Right. Yes, it's like, exactly.
What does this mean?
And we don't know that.
Yeah.
And how do we express uncertainty to our public?
Yeah.
You know.
Social sciences there too.
Exactly. Yeah.
John, this was a terrific conversation. Really a lot of great food for thought. And I know, like I said, everyone's going to be watching the Water Research Foundation with a lot of excitement and interest. And I guess congratulations on the new era for you all. And
yeah, well, we're very excited and hope you keep doing this and give you some updates. I think you'll see some exciting things come out.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
Words on Water.